Appreciate the prayer that's been offered and ask a continued interest in your prayers as we come before you this morning. Got up this morning with this thought on my mind, and it was some time after pondering this that I realized, well, what a wonderful follow-up to thankfulness. I'm not smart enough to come up with this. So I pray the Lord will bless our time together this morning. I want you to turn, if you have your scriptures, would like to turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Maybe you can quote it by heart. Maybe you don't need to turn to it. I suppose if there is a chapter in the Bible, now that's a chapter, but it's only six verses, right? If there's a chapter in the Bible that anyone has committed to memory, it might be the 23rd Psalm. Isn't it wonderful? Well, I didn't get a single amen. Isn't it wonderful? Thank you. What is it about the 23rd Psalm that feeds our soul? You know, we hear it a lot at funerals. I don't think I've ever heard it read at a birthday party. Or other occasions like that. So what is it that feeds our soul about the 23rd Psalm? Isn't it the comfort that we receive from these six verses? Now, the last one is really what's on my mind. We might touch on some of the other of it because it's obviously a conclusion of the whole psalm. But when we think about the 23rd Psalm, God and His Word, we're reminded by this psalm that God and His Word are always there for us. This is not just a funeral psalm. It is a psalm for every step of life, every decision of life, every day we live. Our shepherd is watching over us. Our shepherd is keeping us. And our shepherd is well able to provide and deliver. Now that's comforting, isn't it? We need help sometimes, don't we? Life's not always good. Life's not always kind. Life's not always fun. But God is always the same. And His Word is the truth, and it always will be. And He's promised that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You know, that verse of Scripture, you'll find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's one of the few verses in all three places where it's found is the same. Now, the punctuation is different in the King James, but the wording of that verse is the same in all three verses. That's incredible, isn't it? It seems like to me that it must be important for us to understand that His Word shall never pass away. His words, not just word, but His words. Which is part of the reason why I believe in the preservation of the Scriptures. You know, Psalm 12, verses 7 and 8. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou wilt keep them, O Lord. Thou wilt preserve them from this generation forever. God in the Old Testament promised to preserve His words. And Jesus Himself says in the New Testament, they'll never pass away. His words, not just the teaching of it, not just word, but all the words. God is preserving His Word from this generation and forever. Isn't that wonderful? the same Christ, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not going to change. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things God cannot do. He cannot change. Right? Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Okay? God can't change. He's perfect. And for that reason, if he changed in any respect, he'd cease to be his perfect being. The last verse of Psalm 23. I hope you found it by now. Surely. Hear the confidence. To me, this is one of the most outstanding elements of teaching that we get from David. His confidence in the Lord. How is your confidence in the Lord this morning? How is it? Is it strong? Is it bold? Is it informed? It could be. This Bible teaches us all about reasons why we can be confident in the Lord. Now, if we've not been reading it lately, some of that might have slipped away from us. Oh, how we need to maintain a confidence. Because you see, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. Make it flesh his arm. I'm kind of combining a couple of verses there, but that's what the scriptures tell us. But blessed is the man that puts his trust in God. He's worthy of our trust, isn't he? Always and forever, and always has been. Surely, David says, goodness and mercy shall follow me. On Sunday morning, Wednesday night, all the days of my life. As long as you need him, he's going to be there for you. And when you draw your last breath in this life, when you awake in his presence, he'll be the first one you see. I'm persuaded of that from the scriptures. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no purgatory. To be absent from the body as soon as our eyes close in death. We'll be blessed to behold that one who comforted us all the days of our lives. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. In other words, it'll accompany us. Wherever we are, you can expect the goodness and mercy of God. Now listen, when you think about what this psalm tells us, when he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you think about that, remember this. If you're walking hand in hand with the Lord every day, you won't have to go find him when you've got trouble. Right? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Sometimes trouble comes and we've got to go find the Lord because we've left him behind. We've left him out of our decisions. We've left him out of our plans. We've left him out of our day. We've left him out of so many things. And trouble comes, and you remember the Lord. But you have to go find him, because he's not right there. Now understand, you'll never lose his spirit. I believe in eternal security as much as anybody. But as far as fellowship and communion with Him on a day-to-day basis, if you're not walking close to Him, when trouble comes, you're going to have to go find Him. And that's usually on your knees, begging God for forgiveness, approaching Him in the way that we should, and then He'll be found. Surely. There's two attributes here of God that are mentioned. Surely, goodness and mercy. Don't you love those two? Aren't they a wonderful pair? This goodness is in and of God. If there's anything good in us, He gave it to us. By nature, we're totally depraved. You know, Romans 5:12, Wherefore, as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men. And that's an all without exception. Death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, they hadn't had any children. And they were changed by that sin. They became sinners, okay? Right? Therefore, every child ever born of them. Now, the Lord's a special case, isn't He? The Lord Jesus Christ. God made a way that He could be born in this world free from sin. But I'm talking about every natural descendant of Adam and Eve were born in that same sinful condition as Adam and Eve. And it was going to take a miracle of God to change that. They died in trespasses and sins. They're separated from God. And apart from the grace of God, they'll never be reconciled again. But that's why Jesus came. And so when David says in this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," he's bearing evidence that he is born again, that he is a child of God, that he has a love for God. We love him because he first loved us, right? 1 John 4:19. All right? He's bearing fruit, the fact that he loves God, that he has a trust in God. And when you read about the life of David, you'll find a tremendous confidence in God. So when he says, surely, you hear that confidence, don't you? Surely, goodness and mercy. We talked about when man sinned and fell in transgressions, separated from God. It was going to take the mercy and grace of God to reconcile us. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks about how that, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." But then we got a couple of verses there that speaks of what we were like when we were dead in trespasses and sins. But verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." How much mercy did it take to save your soul? And I submit to you that it takes some mercy every day you live. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." David knew something. Though he didn't live in New Testament times, though he hadn't heard the gospel like we've heard it, bless your hearts, he knew the Lord. He loved the Lord. And he knew about the goodness and mercy of God. And he rejoiced in it, didn't he? There's so much of the writings of David you go through, and he speaks about that goodness and mercy of God. So when we think about, when he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There's more to it. We'll get to that in a minute. When you read what David, by inspiration of the Spirit, we find that by his confidence, you find that being rooted in his past experiences. But then you're also going to hear of his present confidence. The Lord is, not was, not will be. The Lord is my shepherd. But when he talks about, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, he's talking about future blessings, isn't he? So we've got past, present, and future being spoken of here, among a lot of other things. But that's the point, that's the approach we want to notice this morning. Past blessings. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When you think about the life of David, if you think about the record that we have in Scripture, there was a time when a giant by the name of Goliath was defying the armies of Israel. Remember that? 1 Samuel 17. And this little teenage boy, this ruddy lad, when all the soldiers, even Saul, were trembling in their sandals whenever this giant would come out and make his challenge, this young boy, this shepherd boy, came out and said, I'll go against him. I'll fight against Goliath. And God will deliver him into my hand. You know, they thought he was just being cocky. But David had some confidence. You remember what he reminded Saul of? Thy servant was keeping his father's sheep. And a lion and a bear. Now, I don't know that that was the same occasion, but it must have been two different occasions, because later he said God blessed him to slay both of them. So he's not just calling the same occasion by a different animal here. Both of them had come against David when he was out watching his father's sheep, and God delivered him. David gave God the credit for it. And thereby David gives God the glory for his deliverance. Right? And that's something that we need to acknowledge every day. Thanking God for his blessings. Thanking God for his deliverances. And giving him the praise. And giving him the glory. Because he's worthy of it. We're just the happy recipients of it. Sometimes we're, Lord deliver us, but sometimes we're the mindless and unthankful recipients of it. But when David says, surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, I'm satisfied he was looking back upon those past deliverances. I mean, that must have been a frightful thing for a teenage boy to go out and have to face a lion and also another occasion face a bear. And yet God delivered him. God delivered him. And then later on, that same King Saul was going to turn on David out of jealousy. And he was going to chase David for years and years. Even though David had been anointed to be the next king over Israel, Saul wanted to kill him. And he tried to on many occasions. And God spared him. God delivered him. And David would praise him for it. Isn't that a wonderful pattern of how to live? In praise, adoration, and thanksgiving to God for past deliverances, wouldn't that put some wind in your sails for today? I submit that it did for David. He never forgot those things. I skipped right over Goliath, but God delivered David. Saul wanted to put his armor on David. Now, Saul was a man that was head and shoulders above most of the Israelites. Maybe all of them. Saul was a big man. I don't know how big David was. He seemed to be very, very strong. He was a mighty warrior eventually. But Saul wanted to put his armor on David. Well, David complied. He put it on, but he said, I haven't proved this. I haven't used it. I don't know if I can trust this or not. I don't know if I can trust being able to do what I need to do with this armor. And he took it off and going against Goliath. I need to measure this ceiling sometime. Just see how close to the ceiling, 9 feet. I think it's probably more than 9 feet, don't you think? Maybe 12, something like that. But Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Huge. And David put off Saul's armor and went out against him with a sling and 5 smooth stones. What an armory. But you know what? It was all he needed and more, right? I've heard a lot of speculation about those 5 smooth stones. To start out with, I don't think I'd have gone out with just one. And I've heard folks, spiritualize it and talk about the points of grace and all that. But I also read in Scripture where Goliath had 4 brothers. That might have something to do with it too. Now, they were all giants. But the point is, when David went out with perfect confidence in the Lord. Now that's armed. That's the kind of armor we need, isn't it? It'll do you good to go out with that armor every day. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God, and it all points us to Christ. And so when David went out trusting in the Almighty God who had delivered him in the past, and he had perfect confidence that him being in a just cause, that God would be with him on that occasion. And if you're pursuing a just cause, and if what you're doing is pleasing and honorable to the Lord, you can expect the Lord to be with you and deliver you. Now, I'm not saying he's going to give you everything you want in life. He certainly will give you everything you need. But if you're pursuing a just cause, you might be amazed at what the Lord would do. And by the way, you'll be amazed how much the Lord will do when you're not worried about who gets the credit. When you give God the glory, bless your hearts, he'll bless. He blesses. David went against Goliath with a perfect confidence in the Lord. And God delivered him mightily, didn't he? And with that first of the 5 smooth stones, when he took that in his sling and released it, I'm satisfied, and you've heard me say this before, but I'm satisfied that that became a guided missile after that. It didn't need any electronics. Because God took care of that situation. But David, with perfect confidence, went out against Goliath, and he slung that stone. And we've got some Goliaths facing us in life, don't we? And here's a wonderful pattern: to go out with perfect confidence in the Lord. Think about what God's done for you in the past. I suspect that anybody here can look back over your life and see some way that God has preserved you, God has delivered you, God has blessed you. And if he's ever loved you once, he still loves you today. There may be times when if we do things that he might not like, but bless your hearts, his love is everlasting. We're inseparable from his love. And so as we walk in paths of righteousness, as we pursue following him, and as we remember past deliverances, it'll give us strength and courage for whatever we have to face today. And in this psalm, he says, the Lord is. Not just was, he was, and he will be. But David right now, in Psalm 23, verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd today? If you're your child, if you're his child, you are. I mean, he is your shepherd. But there's a reality in that. Sometimes we hear things and we agree with the logic, but do we really feel it in our heart? David felt it, didn't he? He's my shepherd. Not just a shepherd, he's my shepherd. Can you say that with joy today? Oh, I believe I'm looking at a people this morning that can say that and rejoice in it. But listen, you need to say it more often. You need to rejoice in it every day. There's an encouragement that comes from the Spirit within us witnessing to the truth of that matter. The Lord is my shepherd. As you keep going, and I shall not want. Which means we won't lack anything. What a wonderful supply is the grace of God. Now what Paul found out? When Paul had that thorn in the flesh, and he besought the Lord three times to remove it, wouldn't the Lord be good enough to remove it? Well, he is good enough. But he had a purpose for that thorn. And there's a lot of speculation about what that thorn was. And later in my life here, I'm persuaded that that thorn, if you disagree with me, that's fine. But I'm persuaded that that thorn in his flesh was the remembrance of how he had persecuted the church and the saints of God. I haven't found anything that would cause more pain to a faithful servant of the Lord than to remember that there was a time when he persecuted, wasted, and tried to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nobody, when Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners, there was nobody contemporary with him that had done more harm or tried to do more harm to the church than Saul of Tarsus. Now we can all relate to Paul and realize our weakness and our sinfulness and our bent to error. But there was also that idea that there was no one else who had done more to hurt the church of the Lord Jesus Christ than Saul of Tarsus. But God put a stop to that, didn't he? Who in the world would have thought that Saul of Tarsus would become the greatest defender of truth in his day? That's the kind of God we've got. That's the kind of shepherd we've got. And we shall not want. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, there's some folks that I know that's pretty creative. But listen. God can do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. That's the kind of shepherd we have. That's the love that he has. That's the mercy that he shows us. That's his goodness. There's no way we could speak of the extent of his goodness. Well, we just rejoice in it, can't we? We can just give him glory and honor and praise for his goodness. That's why it doesn't bother us to know that he has all power. You know, there's some men on this earth, if they had all power, I would be fearful. I am thankful that God restrains the wrath of some. I am thankful that God is on his throne and he hath done whatsoever he hath willed. He's all powerful, yet because of his goodness, we don't have to fear God in that. Now, there's a fear in the sense of reverence. Extreme reverence that he's due. That fear we should all have. That fear we should remember every day. But that's out of reverence and respect. Now, yes, you could fear his almighty power. And if you're going astray, you better fear his almighty power, because he does chasten those that he loves. Scriptures teach us that, don't they? Goodness and mercy, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Several places in Scripture where this goodness and mercy is mentioned together. As a matter of fact, 1 Chronicles 16:34, we find, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever." He's good all the time, right? Give thanks. If you're blessed to know that he's good, then you need to thank him for that knowledge. You need to thank him for eternal life. You need to thank him for his Holy Spirit, which has quickened you and raised you up from a death in sins to a life in Christ. But he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And by the way, in 1 Chronicles 16:34, it's when David had built a house in Jerusalem and brought the ark there. They didn't have a temple at that point, all right? But when they brought it back, there was great rejoicing. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, there's plenty of other places where that statement is made, but I'll give you a few more. When they did build a temple, and when they had the dedication for it, what were they singing? "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." Now, there's slight variations in the wording in some of these places, but the message is the same. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Aren't you glad that his mercy is not going to run out? I mean, listen, we need it. Every day we need it. His mercy endureth forever. So when they dedicated the temple, they were praising him. And after that, the temple was filled with smoke. The temple was filled with the presence of the Lord after they praised him in such a way. That's a clue. The more we're praising him, the more we'll see a manifestation of his presence. Oh, thank you this morning for praising him as you did in our song service. I enjoyed every selection. I enjoyed every song that was sung. I believe it was a praise to God. And when they dedicated that temple, that's in 2 Chronicles 5. Then his glory filled the temple after they gave thanks and praised the Lord for his mercy. Give thanks to the Lord for he's good. His mercy endures. And after the temple was filled with his presence, they said it again. Back over in chapter 7, they were praising him again. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Brethren, memorize that verse. Speak it often. Rejoice in the Lord every day, because it speaks of his goodness, of his mercy, and our need to be giving him thanks on a regular basis.
We got to.
Amen. So we had it at bringing in the ark. We noticed it at the dedication of the first temple. And if you go over to Ezra chapter 3, when Cyrus had issued the decree for them to come back out of captivity and to begin to build the house of the Lord once again, when they laid that foundation, that's what they were praising him again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 100. Don't you love Psalm 100? Verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And then there's several more psalms, and I didn't take the time to try to find them all, but Psalm 106. Do you have any idea how Psalm 106 begins? I think I'm not getting the first phrase, but then he says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Any idea how Psalm 107 begins? The same way. This must be important. This must be something that should be a regular part of our praise and worship. Giving thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. How about Psalm 118? It starts the same way. The same thing again. Listen, when God repeats himself in his precious word, it's important. When he keeps repeating himself, it's really important. You know, John said that of all the things that he did, if all the things that are said and done were written in a book, I suppose that the world itself couldn't contain it. Right? So what about the book that he did write? I mean, I understand it's a collection of 66 books. But what about what he did write? If the world couldn't contain everything that Jesus did and said, but he did give us this book. Oh, don't you know that when you find something being repeated over and over and over and over, it demands your attention and it demands your response. And so, Psalm 118, Psalm 136, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. See how the goodness and mercy of God go hand in hand? It's part of his goodness. And we ought to be thankful that he's merciful toward us. Now, so, if we live in that every day, praising God, acknowledging his goodness and mercy upon us, and thanking God. If we live in that, there's so many other verses that come to mind that are in perfect agreement with that. But if we live in that mindset and if we live in that activity, again, when trouble comes, you won't have to go find the Lord. He's right there with you. And oh, isn't that needful? Isn't that wonderful?
We don't need to have to hunt the Lord no way. We need to be with the Lord.
That's right. Amen. So, what we need to be doing is praising, adoring, trusting, serving, looking for his wisdom. By the way, this is his wisdom, right? This is how God speaks to us today. We need it. Anybody here that doesn't need wisdom? If you feel that way, you're sorely deceived. We need this wisdom, and we need to trust that it is the best wisdom that can be had. If you ever decide something else is better than what God's word says, you are wrong. And you're headed for trouble. And so this is the best wisdom that can be found. Now, David was mindful of his past blessings and deliverances. He was grateful and rejoicing in his present condition. The Lord is my shepherd. And he goes on to speak about all the things the Lord does for us. But then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David was looking forward to days of deliverance in the future. You know, a little bit was said about this during our prayer request, but this world's in a mess. And it's not getting any better. And the only way it will get any better is for God to intervene.
God is the only one that can fix it.
That's right. You can, and I encourage you to be informed as far as a voter, but it's God that's going to make the difference. I'm persuaded that we're under the hand of judgment. I mean, how else could it be? When this nation calls abortion legal, when they allow marriages to be something other than one man and one woman. Brother, I understand cultures change, societies change, but God's word will never change. If he ever called it an abomination, it's an abomination now and it always will be. What we need to do is understand what he says is pleasing to him and do it. Every day.
Thank God we know what we know, though.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, a lot of people
by his grace.
Know what we know, but I thank God every day for what we know.
That's right. So, as David looks to the future, Psalm 37, he says, I have been young, and now I'm old. Some of you have been on this road a long time. Some of us have been on this road longer than we want to admit. He said, I've been young, and now I'm old. What was it that David could trust in from knowing the Lord, from rejoicing in past deliverances, for walking with the Lord daily? What did he have to look forward to? He said, I once was young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, isn't that a wonderful promise? He says in the book of Hebrews, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Can you say that today? Well, if you'll start by the Lord is my shepherd, and if you'll start remembering all the things that the Lord is for us, all the things he has done, all the things he's still doing, and all the promises we have in the days ahead. I tell you, it'll give you some boldness. It'll put some wind in your sails. It'll give you some confidence. And we need to use every bit of that confidence in serving him faithfully and thanking him for his blessings, trusting him for his grace, and being faithful to him who is so much more faithful to us than we can imagine. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't you think David knew he wasn't going to live here forever? Aren't you thankful that you're not going to live here forever? Oh, man. But what we have to look forward to is the same promise and the same grace that every one of God's redeemed children have to look forward to forever. I'm satisfied David meant as long as he lived here, but I'm also satisfied that he understood that when this life was over, he'd be with the Lord in heaven, in his house, praising his name. You know, there were times throughout the Psalms where he was elsewhere and being persecuted by Saul and couldn't go to the house of the Lord. And he mourned and he longed for being able to join with the saints of God in the house of God, praising the name of God. You know what? We could very quickly in this nation have our worship hindered. And nobody's ever going to make you, nobody's ever going to prevent you from praying. You know, it's kind of like the old saying about as long as there's tests in school, there'll be prayer in school. Thank God he's designed a way for us to worship him that we don't have to speak an audible word. But what a blessing it is that we can come together as the people of God in the house of God praising the name of God.
Amen.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We don't know what we're going to face in the days ahead, but we know our shepherd is good.
We know he's
merciful. We know he's able. And we can trust him for any Goliath we have to face. May God bless you is our prayer.